Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We continue today live, on the air, online, and on Facebook with our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll be picking up, as a matter of fact, on page number 73. The general title is Satisfied under page 72, but we'll be picking up on page 73. It is our Friday study edition, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, as you go back into the Old Testament and you read the story of the Exodus, and even before, you know, they left Egypt and the sea parted and all of that. Uh-huh. You know, God really had a destination for the people.
Yes.
It was the promised land. And so he knew exactly where he was going to take the Israelites. And Moses knew where he was going to lead the Israelites. Well, in the same way, God has a destination for us, and that is rest. Now, that's not a place you can find on a map. It has no geographical location, but it is a spiritual place. It's a place that God wants to take each and every one of us, and it comes through really trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been talking about over the past number of weeks. Exactly what did Jesus accomplish through his death on the cross? And last week we started this chapter 10 called Rest. And that's the destination, as I said, that God wants us to wind up in. And out of that place of rest, a lot of great things are going to happen in your life. And you're going to become a blessing to so many people. But until you get there, Christianity is going to be a struggle. So it's so vitally important. And last week we told the story of a person that I met a number of years ago named Joe, who kept coming to our weekly Bible study. And he was looking for information, for nuggets of truth that he could take home and give to his wife, impart to his wife so that she could become a better wife and their marriage could be saved. Well, underneath all of that was this fear that Joe had, fear of punishment, that if his marriage didn't work out, his whole life would unravel, and at some point in the future, punishment would come his way. And then after about 2 years of coming and trying to get the information, his marriage, just he and his wife growing further and further and further apart, it's like God hit him in the head right between the eyes with a big old 2x4. And he opened Joe's eyes, and Joe came up that day after the Bible study was finished, and he said, "Have you guys been teaching this all along?" And
yeah.
Teaching what, Joe? About the total forgiveness that we have in Christ. Just about every single week, Joe. That's what we've been hammering every single week. But it took him 2 years to finally get it. And it was amazing to see what actually happened in Joe's life. A sense of satisfaction really flooded his soul. And that's what's supposed to happen. When we realize that God is satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, then we start feeling satisfied. That sense of satisfaction starts to flood our souls, and we're back to square. I was telling that to a gentleman yesterday. When we really see what Christ has accomplished, it moves us back to square. You know, we get our equilibrium back. Life seems to be the way it's supposed to be. And that's what started happening with Joe. He started to sense this release inside of him. He started to relax. And as he started to relax, he started to see God working in his life. And it's exactly what God promised in one of the most, I think, touching and poignant passages in all of the New Testament, Matthew 11, 28, where Jesus gave this invitation, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is gentle and light, and I will teach you my ways." That was the invitation that Jesus gave to his disciples. That's the invitation that he gave to all of us. Finally, Joe took up Jesus on his invitation. He came unto Jesus and just simply found rest, experienced rest. Why? That's what Jesus gave him. And boy, it made all the difference in the world. And Richard, you know, you talk to a lot of people by phone. You email a lot of folks on various questions. And I bet the thing that's consistent with most of those is that you are dealing with people who are weary and burdened.
Yes. Yes. And the weariness and the burdens could be completely natural, but the lack of trust at that moment, the lack of belief in Jesus at that moment, is preventing them from resting, even in the midst of the burdens. But when the burdens are spiritual, those burdens can be taken completely away because of Jesus' promise. Right? The sin issue, the eternal life issue, all of those things dealt with once and for all by Jesus. He's not kidding when he says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." So Jesus can take care of all of those spiritual issues and take care of them forever. And having that rest from the inside out enables us to deal in a restful way with illnesses and, you know, a house burning down or a sick child or a loss of a job, you know, the regular everyday life stuff. But if we don't understand what Jesus has given us, there's just no rest. And there can't be rest. There's only me trying to work through it. And the harder I work, the less rest I have.
Yes, indeed. So what Joe was doing and what most of us do as far as life is concerned, there's a problem that hits us, and we don't really know how to solve it. We don't know what to do. But we start asking questions. What am I supposed to do? And we want some steps to take. Step one, step two, step three. And so we're looking for basically a program that we can apply that's going to fix that problem. Well, Jesus never gives us a program. He simply gives us himself. And that is a big difference. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You diligently search the scriptures in hopes that in them you will find eternal life." Well, what were they looking for? They were looking for the 10 steps to eternal life,
yeah,
or the 5 steps or the 8 steps. They didn't know how many steps.
Yeah,
they were just looking for those steps.
Just give them to me, please.
Yeah. Tell me step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. And Jesus all along is simply saying, "Come unto me and I will give you rest."
Yes.
Those steps aren't going to give you rest. They're going to wear your butt out. That's just what they do. And we need to realize that. And we need to come unto Christ to really take him at his invitation. Now, the writer of Hebrews kind of rewrote this yes, invitation in his letter, and he said simply this: "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let us make every effort to enter that rest." And we do so by resting from our works, just as God rested from his. So did Jesus finish his work?
Absolutely.
He did. It was God the Father satisfied with the work of Jesus on
Completely.
Our behalf? Totally. So if God was satisfied with Jesus's work, we should too. And once we're satisfied with it, we're going to see rest start flooding these souls of ours.
Yeah.
And it is the most wonderful reality you will ever know on this planet.
Yeah.
I mean, there is nothing like resting in Jesus.
Yeah.
All of us just work so hard. I mean, trying to satisfy the demands of God's justice is tiresome work. And it's a work that we could never meet our target.
Uh-huh.
We could never get there. We don't even get close.
No.
But we keep trying. We keep doubling our efforts. Finally, we have to realize that Jesus has already satisfied those demands.
Uh-huh.
He satisfied them. Let's rest in Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel.
You bet. Well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday Study Series from the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. You'll find the book and the study guide at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and your gifts. You know, the words of Jesus are always true, but never more so than today. The fields are indeed ripe unto harvest. The need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere. We ask you to step up and help us get that message out. Get that answer out to the ears and hearts of desperately needing people. Will you join with us today with a gift? Your gift through Basic Gospel may well mean the difference in someone's life this very day. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. I hope many people will contribute so that others can experience rest in Christ Jesus, because this really is the problem of the church today. So many people are like Joe, doing everything that they can. They're in that hamster wheel, just running as fast as they can, but getting absolutely nowhere. Help them get off of those treadmills and into real life, and to that point where they're actually resting in Jesus, that they've come unto him and they're experiencing the rest that he has promised. Now, if you're satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, you've really taken the first step to experiencing this rest. But if you're still struggling, still wrestling with this idea, that's what this next section is all about, the fact that Jesus Christ sat down once and for all. And we're going to take a look at several passages, most of them out of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to see exactly what it means for Christ, or what it means to us, that Christ sat down after he completed his work. Now, the first passage is in Hebrews 10:11. And I love what the writer of Hebrews does. He takes everything that is important in the Old Covenant. And he starts with angels. That's how that Old Covenant was delivered to Moses. Paul talks about that in Galatians. So when Moses went up on the mountain, it says that he met with God. Well, nobody can meet with God face to face. That would just be too overwhelming. It would be consuming, us being the one consumed. We just couldn't handle that. So God mediated that through angels, as Paul talked about. So angels were important in Judaism. They were important to the Jewish people. So the first thing that the writer of Hebrews does is he takes angels and then he compares them to Jesus, and Jesus comes out superior. You know, what angel could say all the things that God says about Jesus? What angel could do all the things that Jesus has done? None. And he concludes that angels, as wonderful as they are simply messengers, servants of those who are going to inherit eternal life. Then he looks at Moses. Moses was the great leader, the one who led the Exodus. So all the Jews love Moses. I mean, he's the guy. And we've made movies about Moses. Saw a picture of a friend of ours who was standing next to Charlton Heston, the original Hollywood Moses. So we know about Moses, but as far as him compared to Jesus, he was just a servant in the house. Jesus is the architect and the builder and the one that holds it all together. And he just keeps making these contrasts, these comparisons and contrast. And then he takes a look at the priesthood. So Jesus is our high priest. And he says, okay, let's take a look at Jesus as compared to the Levites. And so in verse 11 of chapter 10, he says this about the Levites. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. So let's take a little dive into the Levitical priesthood. Where do these Levites come from?
Well, from Levi, one of the sons of Jacob, became a tribe. God identified them as the people through whom he would manage the entire religious life of Israel. They owned the tabernacle. There were certain groups of them that took care of the tabernacle. Others of them became priests. One of them became the high priest. But all of their work, the whole tribe, thousands of people existed solely to take care of the sacrificial system.
Yes. Now, they were born into this.
Born into it.
So it was passed on from generation to generation. So if you were born as a Levite, at one day you were going to become a priest or fulfill a function within that line, right? Mm-hmm. So there was no other option.
No.
For you. Now, the high priest came out of the line of Aaron.
Yes.
And Aaron was Moses' brother, so Moses was a Levite. And a lot of people don't realize that or know that, but that was his lineage.
Yes.
That was his genealogy. And so Aaron was the first high priest. The high priest would come from his distinct bloodline. So they had duties to do. And once they reached a certain age, they were able to carry out those duties. Those who did specific duties in the temple,
yes,
this is what this passage is talking about. Day after day, they stand. So that's important to know. They never sat down. They never sat down. They performed religious duties again and again. They offered the same sacrifices. So there was the Day of Atonement. The same sacrifices were offered on that day every single year.
Yep.
And then every day in between, there were all kinds of other sacrifices that were made. And so these priests stood in the temple day after day, performing religious duties again and again, offering the same sacrifices. Now, here's the kicker, which could never take away sins.
Yep, we got a problem.
Got a problem. You're thinking, you know, why am I doing this? It's not fulfilling its purpose. They can't take away sins. So why in the world are we doing this? Well, God had a purpose in mind, and that was to point forward to the ultimate sacrifice in Christ, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is going to contrast.
Yes.
So in Hebrews 1:3, the writer says this, "The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Now listen to this. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven.
Yes.
So on one hand, the Levites, they stood, they never sat down. Jesus offered his sacrifice, and once it had been offered, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Quite a contrast, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Yes. And what do you do with this other than fall on your face in front of God? Because what Jesus was able to do one time, thousands and thousands and thousands of Levites couldn't do over thousands of years.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, you know, the Levites, they stood, they carried out their duties day after day. The sacrifices they offered were not successful in taking away the sins mm-hmm. of the people. But in contrast, Jesus provided purification for sins. And after he had done so, he sat down. So we asked the question in the study guide, why do you think he sat down? Well, I think the answer is obvious, because his work was finished. But let's dive into this further.
Yeah.
So in chapter 7, verse 27, unlike the other high priest, who were those? The Levites.
Yes.
Said, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. No, he sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. So how many times did he offer himself?
Just once.
Just once.
For how long?
For all time, for all people.
For all time, for all people. So are we saying, Richard, that his sacrifice was sufficient to take away the sins of the world?
Completely, utterly done.
Did his sacrifice take away the sins of the world?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So in verse 12 of chapter 10, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because his work was finished. And so the writer of Hebrews goes on to make this statement, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works just as God did from his. So back to Job. What was Job doing? Working feverishly to try to fix his problem in order to stave off punishment.
Yes.
That was his big concern. What is God going to do with me if this marriage continues to unravel and eventually ends up in divorce? That's what he feared. So he was working feverishly to either prevent that from happening or to delay its coming.
Yes.
So if I can do anything to push it off another day, I'm going to do it. If next day when you wake up, if I can push it off another day, I'm going to do it. And so Joe was working feverishly, trying with every ounce of strength he could muster to prevent punishment from coming. Well, when you realize that Jesus took the punishment once and for all, you can quit working, can't you?
Yeah.
You can just totally rest. And that's what this passage is talking about. For anyone who enters God's rest, rests from their works just as God did from his. Why do we rest from ours? Because they're unnecessary. They are totally unnecessary. So God wants us to be perfect. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be without blemish. Is there any way that we can reach any of those ends, of those goals?
Not in a billion years.
We can't cross that finish line. But Jesus did the work for us. And so by faith in Jesus, we're made perfect forever in God's sight. We are made holy in his sight. We are presented before God without blemish and free of accusation. How did that happen? God made it so in Jesus.
Yes.
When we recognize that Jesus' work accomplished all of that, we can just relax, take a deep breath, and say, thank you, Lord. That's the good news. That is the good news. And that's the destination that God wants you to wind up in. He doesn't want you to work for things that you already have. He doesn't want you to beg for things that have already been given to you in Jesus. He wants you to rest in what you have and to let your life be an offering of praise each and every day for what Christ has accomplished. That's good news, isn't it?
Sure is. I mean, one of the things that finally dawned on me, and God has to remind me of it often, is literally, it's not my job. You know, here I was working, and that wasn't my job. Well, how could I succeed at a job that wasn't mine in the first place and has already been completed by Jesus? I mean, that changed the equation so that you take yourself out of it, and now you see a way through the issues.
Yes, indeed. So the message is clear and strong. Jesus sat down because his work was finished. Unlike the priest of old who never finished the job, Jesus tackled it once. He was successful. God was satisfied. And because God was satisfied, Jesus took up his rightful place in a sitting position at the right hand of God the Father.
He walked into the most holy place and sat down.
Yes, indeed. Wow.
Yeah.
And you know what Paul says? That we, through faith in Jesus, are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That should be our posture as well.
Yep.
Seated, resting, just as Christ is resting. Why? Because good news, good news, good news, it is finished.
It's finished, and that is good news from Basic Gospel. Well, friends, we're glad that you've joined us for this study edition of Basic Gospel. Again, you can find the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the companion study guide through which we're studying during these Friday editions when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You know, in John chapter 4, Jesus said, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. You know, the words of Jesus were never more true than today. The fields are indeed ripened to harvest, and the need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere, people whose souls and spirits are ready to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus. We ask you to help us get the answer out to the ears and hearts that desperately need to hear. Will you join with us today with a gift? Your gift through Basic Gospel will mean the difference in someone's life. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. You can click the donate link on any page. Well, that does it for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday after a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.